We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. We're going to play.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us on this dynastic Monday, in which we are on air for the first time since Friday night's shellacking of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Your final score, 108-85. Your final tally, the Warriors go 16-5. It only took 21 games to win this championship. The pregnancy simulator, see ya. Lo Neal, see ya. He's not in today. Now he's at a celebrity golf tournament. Work done in Atlanta. He'll be back tomorrow. Apparently we got word he did post a message to us from the golf course in Atlanta. He takes a shot at you, Dibs.
Whoa.
And on a day of love where we've taken no shots at Lo Neal, he's still firing back at you.
That's good to know. And I'm sure he posted it in the Fresno Bee, so I'll just run down to Fresno and spend my 25 cents and get a copy of the paper, because we know he doesn't do social media. So
every quarter hour, you will have an opportunity this hour to win a Dubcon 3 t-shirt. In addition, you will have a chance every hour from now through 6 p.m. to not only win championship swag, but to qualify for a chance to be on the 95.7 The Game float in tomorrow's championship parade. We'll probably give that opportunity out around 9:25, so make sure you lock in. Warriors assistant head coach Ron Adams is going to join us at 9:30. And for what I understand, we are going straight through now through the end of the program. No commercial breaks. So hang with us here as we get set to cover everything. And to join us, the great Kalen Azubuki in the studio.
Yes, sir.
How's it feel to be back from Cleveland?
Feels great. Couldn't wait to get out of that city. Don't really have any good memories there. So other than the Warriors just winning.
Saint said that as well. Of all people, Saint on Friday was like, I just can't wait to get out of Cleveland, guys.
Yeah, well, that was the last stop of my career. That's where I got cut. When I had to leave the building, it was raining outside. It's just one of those depressing days. You know what I mean? Just no good memories there. Couldn't wait to get out of there. The midges, the flies, to dodge those. I ate at least eight of them. Incredible.
Take me through it. There's so much I want to talk about with Friday's game and beyond, but I'm watching you guys on the post game, and it is just going and going and going, and I'm thinking, damn, Papa and Saint and Kalena, you guys are just grinding as you're there all night doing interviews. The best interview, and this is my opinion, was Jordan Bell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how hammered was he when he joined you guys on the set?
He was pretty hammered. He told us that he doesn't eat on game days. And I'm like, you don't eat on game days? How do you not faint out there? How is that
no
possible?
No food on game
no
day?
No food at all. He says he gets too nervous to eat on game days. I don't know. Maybe if he eats, he'll throw up. I don't know. He just doesn't eat on game days. I've never heard of that in my life. And I think he said he's been doing it since college. So, of course, he's on an empty stomach after the game. He's throwing back champagne, Moet, or whatever. And he's going to be feeling it pretty quickly if he's on an empty stomach. I don't care how big you are.
Without a doubt, once it gets in the bloodstream with no other food for your stomach to break down, it just breaks down straight alcohol.
Right.
And it gets pumped throughout. It's a pretty good way to go from zero to 100 real quick.
So he was twisted while he's on camera. It was a great interview, man. Very candid interview.
Damn.
Called the trophy his side piece.
They seemed like they were having some fun. Clay swung by and hung out with you guys for a minute. Steve Kerr, that was a great interview. Take us through it. So you're in the building game four I don't think the confetti's falling, but as the aftermath is taking place there, what stands out to you as you're covering this? Like, what are the moments that were the biggest for you that night?
Everybody just kind of talked about how different the season was. Like, this was not an easy ride for them. Obviously, they just swept in the finals, but they had adversity they had to overcome. And everybody kind of echoed that same sentiment that it seemed like the guys were a little more proud and had a little more satisfaction from getting through this season because it was harder. and there was injuries and they had to figure out ways to win. And you heard David West talk about, well, once the stories come out about what happened in the locker room, you guys are going to be surprised, and we're all trying to figure out what that is. And I'm sure there was some heated arguments or something going on in the locker room, because at times you could see on the floor that they weren't always together. Like in that Houston series, it seemed to be a little bit of an identity crisis on the offensive side, and we talked about that in here. And it just goes to show you that it's not always easy bringing great players together, even if they're the most unselfish players in the world. It's still going to be a battle. And you'd think the second year with Kevin Durant should be easier. The chemistry's there, all these different things, but it actually got harder. And then you throw in the injuries and the mental fatigue from the year before and the games they should have dropped. It was just one of those seasons where they really had to grit their teeth and fight through it. And they were still able to get it done. And at the end of the day, it's Warrior supremacy. Like when they lock in and when they actually start playing during the playoffs is obviously their regular season. The regular season for them is kind of like the preseason. When they actually lock in during the playoffs, they can really handle their business. And even when they do lock in, sometimes they have lapses and go back in it, and then they struggle. And we see what happens when they do that in the Houston Rockets series. But it was really one of those nights where you just sit back and think about what they went through. And that's kind of what everybody echoed. And Coach Kerr talked about that, how tough it was. He said, my job is easier than the other coaches, but it's still not easy because it was a tough road and we all had to fight and get through it.
If you didn't hear it after the game, here's David West talking about the adversity.
This one, we went through some stuff. You know, one of the things I learned throughout the year was, you know, this group is so tight, nothing got out. You know, we dealt with some internal adversity, and nobody said a peep. You know, never leaked out. That's how tied together this group is. And you know, this journey was a little bit. It may not seem like it from the outside, but internally, we know how hard it was to get here. And I'm very proud of this group for what we accomplished.
They went through some stuff, Kalena, and he talked about internal adversity, and because they were so tight, nothing got out. And to me, that's got to speak at least in part to Steve Kerr and Bob Myers and the whole staff and their ability to not only create an atmosphere where there wouldn't be some leaks, but also to have it be where if there was a disagreement, it wasn't a loud situation where reporters outside the locker room heard it. Or I mentioned to Joe earlier the Chris Paul, James Harden thing where Chris Paul tries to give him a dap and Harden slaps his hand away. They didn't even have a moment like that. So whatever happened, how impressive to you is it that none of it got out?
It's pretty impressive. It's not really surprising because they've cultivated that kind of family atmosphere where everything is tight and kept at house. They don't want to air out their dirty laundry and make guys look bad and throw each other under the bus. It's just not the Warrior way. It's just not what they do. And I think the players are appreciative of that. They love Coach Steve Kerr. And you heard Steph talk about Steve Kerr and his kind of – he talked about over-communication to everybody based on just making sure everybody knows their roles and his ability to communicate and his ability to get through to other humans. And he's one of a kind in that way. And I think all that helps when you're having a dispute, when you're having a disagreement, because you know deep down that he is a good guy. Steve Kerr is a good guy. And when he's talking to you or when he's trying to calm you down or when he's trying to explain something or explain his side or explain another player's side, he just has that genuineness with him, and you tend to gravitate towards that, or you tend to listen at least and just give him an ear. And of course, Steve Kerr is a really wise person, so usually probably what he's saying makes sense. But it's really not surprising that there was some disputes to me, because even though everybody's unselfish, we're human beings, and human beings are flawed, and no one's perfect, and everybody makes mistakes, and people get heated, and people get mad, and it's up to the players and teammates to figure out how to deal with it and move ahead and move forward and understand, hey, we are a family. We're in this together, and at the end of the day, we got each other's backs, and I'm pretty sure at the end of the day, that's what it came down to. Didn't matter how many disputes or how heated arguments got. Probably the next day or a couple days later, they're going, hey, my bad. Or
so Draymond basically is getting in KD's face because KD's not playing with that consistent edge. And then KD claps back. And now we got two guys squaring off. And so they stand down. And then the next day they break bread and they move beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my theory. I'm not
probably.
Saying that, I'm not saying that you told me this.
Exactly.
Okay, so my mind happened. Was going crazy because Livingston, Steph, everyone touched on it, and then West really hit it. And I start thinking, like, is it something with a girl? Is it something off the court? Is it?
I doubt that.
Mind was going everywhere. So you think this may have just been dudes basketball stuff?
Yeah.
It was really just basketball stuff.
Just basketball stuff. Just arguments here and there. Just...
When they lose to Indiana by 40, right? Was it Indiana by 40 or was it Utah
that was a
by 40?
Yeah.
They had the back-to-back turds where they got beat by 30 and by 40. And
this is a dynasty. You watch your mouth.
Sorry about that, Coach. I'd like
those
to have
games
that
are meaningless.
Can we dump that? It's been 7 seconds. That one's going to have to live. But maybe it's one of those moments where Steve Kerr has to come out and say that was embarrassing. And, you know, things are in the locker room where not every player, I'm sure, was agreeing with his assessment, or some people, I'm sure, were outraged. It's hard to tell exactly what the discord was, but I would bet it had to do with some of the flat spots in the season.
Maybe. I would bet it probably had more to do with the games that they were in or they were close to winning.
Mm.
Or
did we see it in the Houston series?
Yeah, those.
Is that because
maybe,
we all felt strange in those
right.
losses? Like, what is going on in the fourth quarter?
Or the loss to the Pelicans in that series. Just games that they feel like they should have won. Because during that stretch of the season, they were done. They were burnt out. They just wanted to get to the postseason. Like, maybe there was some disagreement with what Steve Kerr said. They didn't try, but beyond that, I don't think there's really much of an argument. They didn't come to play. They didn't bring their A game. Everybody can agree on that. I don't really know what they'd be arguing about there.
Right.
But the games against Houston that they should have won, the identity crisis that it looked like they were having on the offensive side, do we go to KD's ISO mid-post for the whole game, or do we want Steph to run the offense and go into his ball screens and beautiful basketball and let everybody touch it? Why are we so stagnant? How come no one's moving like we normally do? This is not how we play. But KD's a great option. He's got game. He's got mid-post game. He's tall and he's 7 foot and no one can really touch him. That kind of stuff. Like, the identity crisis type stuff where you're actually in the game and you felt like you should have won. I feel like there's some arguments to be had there.
Do you think that KD deserved the MVP over Steph? It got a little heated there by halftime. We kicked it around this morning. It wasn't heated in here. I think we both kind of felt, yeah, KD had won it with game three, but Steph made a big push late.
He did. I wouldn't have been mad if they would have had co-MVP both of them.
No, it's unacceptable.
But KD deserved it. I'm okay with KD deserved it. He averaged more points in the game. I'm okay with that.
No co.
Yeah, he averaged more points in the series. He had the huge game three, which I thought was tougher than game two or four. The huge game three where he went off for 43 points and really kept them in the game in that first half and then won in the game late. But if not for his performance in that game, could have been a different series. Who knows? Maybe the Cavs get life and they're going, well, maybe we can make a run at this here. But he kind of killed all of their hopes. And in game four, you could tell they're already demoralized. Although they did fight, though. They did fight for the first half.
Yeah.
For like six minutes.
Well, they took the lead.
Real gutsy at home to show up for a half. I got to give him tip of the cap to Cleveland for showing up for a half at home.
Well,
LeBron,
they did
kind
of quit. They did quit. But the Warriors took the fight out of them. Like, when they ended that second quarter of the first half with Steph hitting that three, JaVale blocked J.R. Smith in the corner, I believe. And then
that was a great block.
Right, that was incredible. And they go up by, I think it was 9. And then you look at the box score and you realize Klay Thompson had 0 points. I'm going, okay, this could get out of hand in the third quarter. Because at that point, the Cavs were probably already thinking about their summer vacation destinations. And they're like, we're not going to come back in this game. But when the Warriors start going, like you guys like to say, DoveCon 3 mode.
Oh, there it is, Bookie.
In the third quarter.
Speaking of which, caller number 3 right now, 888-957-9570. Caller number 3 right now, 888-957-9570, wins a DoveCon 3 shirt. Sorry to interrupt, but I figured it was a great
Glad
opportunity.
Glad to have you on board, Bookie, DoveCon 3.
Yeah, that was a great interruption. No, Steph started doing his thing there in the third quarter even more, knocked down some threes, and it was pretty much over. And LeBron James couldn't seem to get right, and the rest of the team followed suit, and they kind of quit, but the Warriors took the fight out of them. It's not really surprising.
What'd you make of the hand? Now, you're on the court, so you probably didn't
the narrative.
See it.
Yeah.
But what's he doing?
If first of all, if you can't control your motions and you're going to hit something that's really hard and break your hand, you deserve to play the rest of the series with a broken hand. I'm not going to give you any credit or say, oh, you're kind of like Michael Jordan playing with the flu. You played through something. You're so courageous. No, you deserve to play that way. And he seemed to be good enough to get triple doubles and still have solid games. His shooting percentages weren't great, but I'm not going to give you any credit on that.
Are you a puncher or are you an item thrower? Because they say that men, when they get angry, they fall into one of two categories. Either you throw an object, which I'm a thrower, or you're a puncher. Like, you're a guy who will punch a wall or punch a steering wheel or whatever.
I tend to gravitate towards the things that don't break bones. So I'd rather throw something.
I have smashed at least a dozen PlayStation controllers in my life. Like, playing FIFA against my brother, just fed up, just smash that mother off the ground.
I'm too laid back, though. I don't really...
You are laid back.
Then I drive down the street and buy another one.
Yeah, I don't really get to the point where I feel like I need to throw things and break things. I just...
You're a well-adjusted adult.
It happened.
He's mature, even though even when I've seen him play golf and he's hit a ball 127 yards to the right.
Well, yeah,
no big deal.
Never have I wanted to throw something more than when I'm on the golf course.
Yeah,
and I shank one or
Well, problem is
I've also broken quite a few sand wedges in my day.
There you
coach.
Go. Shout out my sand iron that is currently resting in peace. Pieces.
I got a putter somewhere at Myrtle Beach that I just chucked over a fence into a swamp. I had to putt with my driver the rest of the way out.
I got a driver in a pond, a couple drivers in the pond.
All I've thrown is balls into the pond after like an 8 or a 9. I'm like, this ball is no good.
Yeah.
The ball's false.
Who gave me these things?
Yeah. Tailor made? What is that?
You think it was a little bit of a soft move then to show up with a little soft cast on there?
It's Lil LeBron. It's LeBron. And obviously if Lo was here, he'd be defending him, but it's a LeBron James thing to do. Play the whole series, and then I heard actually that it actually got much better for game two. So I don't even know if it's as bad as people think it is, a broken hand. He played through it, and I saw some pictures of the swelling or whatever, but whatever. It's LeBron James, and they were going to lose the series anyway.
That's going to be an issue. That's going to be an issue for the legalization of sports betting. All these leagues want their cut. They all want the integrity fee, and the NBA has said they even want to be involved in this. You can't have this and keep this quiet. Brian Windhorst from ESPN, he knew about this, and he kept it quiet because the Cavs didn't want to tip the Warriors off to the injury. They didn't want him to know he was hurting.
Slap a hand or two.
So they kept it quiet through the series, and then, of course, 10 minutes after it ends, here's Windhorst breaking the news. That is going to be a big problem for the legalization of sports betting. If you want control of sports betting, and you've got a handful of people who have that information, and they don't release it to the public, do you think the public is going to buy into the legitimacy of your product?
They're not. But
no,
on the other side of it is the HIPAA protections that we all share as patients, that your medical records, at what point does it become public record? Now, if you have a broken hand, if you or I have a broken hand, there are certain restrictions that the public and your employer, certain things that they don't have the right to know about. And if you're talking about gambling, on the one side, the gambler should have a right to know all the injury information. But as a patient, you have some protection under HIPAA, I believe.
Is there an official governing body that's going to make sure they divulge these things and make it public? Like what?
State by state.
Just,
as of now, state by states will regulate it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the NFL giving out their injury report. Hockey does the upper body injury, lower body injury. It's just something to keep an eye on because when the league says they want their cut, they want to be involved. Well, all right. So now you're involved in the sports betting, but you're also keeping certain information quiet.
Yeah.
And some reporters get to know, but others don't. Like if you're and I'm not saying he would do this, but if I'm the reporter and I have that information and I'm in a state where it's legal, like I'm not just going to turn around and try to take advantage of that?
Yeah.
Probably not me, but others.
Sure.
Certainly others.
Friends,
out
associates.
There.
Those for you,
it'd
be like
are
insider
not above
trading,
board.
Right?
Yeah. I would never do something as such. Shout out the Super Bowl halftime. Or no, the anthem. The anthem. Oh, I got the tip on that. That was great.
Shout out the anthem.
We did this earlier, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Take the Hamptons 5 out of the equation. Go back over the last 4 years. Your non-Hamptons 5 all Dynasty Warriors team. Now, you don't have to have a point guard and a shooting guard and a small and a power and a center, but your five favorite non-Hamptons five guys, the guys who may have contributed the most, your favorite guys.
Last 4 years,
you don't have to have been a part of it for all four, but they can't be a member of the Hamptons five.
Should I give him mine so he has a little JaVale, bit of time to put it together?
Let's see where he goes, and then you can weigh in if you have the same pick. I don't want him to be persuaded because I know we're catching him off guard a little bit, and then let's see where this goes.
I know JaVale McGee's in there.
You'd have him as one of the five. Okay, Dibs?
Yeah, without a doubt. JaVale was one of my five on my top five.
Hence the bell.
Yeah, thank you. Because you agree with me, so you had to be right.
Yeah. Yes. I got Livingston in there.
Livingston's got to be unanimous.
Oh, my God. He's exposing people. And he played amazing in this final series.
And he was kind of like...
He missed that one shot.
Yeah, that one shot.
Yeah, he got blocked. Slacking. I'd like to talk to him about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to just grill him. He kind of became the Hampton six to me because when Iguodala was out, he was in that finishing lineup in games one and two. So I'm glad you threw him in there. You're two for two right now, Buki.
I got to have Leandro Barbosa in there.
Ooh,
you know
interesting.
What?
He sounds...
Going for the Dibber. I had the blur on my list.
And he's a fun guy, man. We go in championship. The Brazilian blur. He would just come into games and just go 100% and score a lot. That was great. And he was really
incredible.
Fast.
We're going to be championship.
Exactly.
Yes, yes, you are.
We're going to be championship. I also have... I need...
Here comes. You get the drum.
I know. You're really getting put on the spot here.
It's brutal.
I'm going with Mo Buckets, I think.
Buckets.
I think I'm
going
with Mo Buckets.
And not on your list,
though. You made a list. Joe actually had him in his five.
You had him in your five?
My wife's favorite player. When Buckets left, she was furious. The first game she ever went to, Buckets checks into the game, and I'm like, this is Mo Buckets.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, you are. Immediately starts putting up threes. You remember how Mo used to do it?
Yeah.
And he either went white hot or his ass went right back to the bench.
Yeah.
And that was a night where he went white hot. So she's always been a Buckets fan ever
Mo
since.
Mo Buckets,
that's
yeah.
my guy, man. Who else? I got four.
We threw out five. We'll throw this one out. We both went with Harrison Barnes.
I was thinking about
it. He started all 82 games that first year they went to the title. Now, he took a lot of heat, but he was still a member of the starting five when they won that first ring.
He was. I'll throw him in there. I'll give him.
Good job.
Yeah. I'll throw him in there. Yeah. I was thinking about him, but I was like, he left. But it wasn't his fault. I mean, he went after the money.
Yeah, and he was key before he left.
He did.
And,
yeah, he was.
He helped them win that first ring. That first ring, remember, very different back then. Steph was banged up. They had never been there before. There was no KD. It was Steve's first year coaching the team.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that were on that team, they deserve a lot of credit.
I'll tell you who I was thinking. David Lee, too. But...
Easy. He's so fast with that.
I was saying,
the bell takes 5 seconds. The buzzer's like halfway through the word.
But I chose Harrison Barnes instead. I was just thinking, well, should I give David Lee a nod or no?
Somebody actually on the text line earlier said that very thing because he kind of built that bridge from you guys and we believe David Lee. When Monte left, he was all we had left.
Exactly. But then he got injured and then Draymond Green just took advantage and just kind of stepped in there. So he wasn't a huge factor in the first win, but he was a huge factor in the celebration.
He had that one game,
he made sure
in Cleveland.
They all got to Vegas.
It was either game four or game five. He had that 6 or 7 minute stretch where he went hot, and then they figured out they could exploit him on the defensive end.
Right.
So eventually that role came to an end, but he was big in one of the crucial games.
He got some points.
What about Andrew Bogut?
That's another guy.
Tough one to leave off.
It is a tough one to leave off. He was really good on the defensive end at times, and then at other times he was a big problem. Like, he could really get exposed. It's just which Bogut was going to show up from night to night.
Yeah.
Some nights he was coming ready to work. He brought his lunch pail. He was going to move his feet. He was going to defend. He was going to be up on the ball screens. And other nights he was zoning it up, and he was stiff, and he was stuck in the ground. Like, his feet are stuck in cement. So it's tough. But he had a big role. He had a big role when he was here, and he was a wonderful passer. Had a few between the legs, I believe, kind of like Zaza did. He was a really good passer and a good screener. But those games where he was just a problem, those really stuck out too.
We'll jump right back into this in a second. But it's 925. Callers 19, 20, and 21. Blackjack. 888-957-9570. Callers 19, 20, and 21. 888-957-9570. You will win some championship swag, courtesy of your boys, Jolo and Dibs. But more importantly, you will also qualify for a chance to bring a friend to the 95.7 The Game float in tomorrow's championship parade. You and a friend, if you win, will go on to ride in the float, the 95.7 float, for the parade dibs. You did this last year. Hell of a moment for you.
It's an unbelievable moment. It's up there among the greatest moments for me as a sports fan of my whole life to be in
Mount
the parade.
Moment more.
It might be in my moment more. Certainly being at the Masters in Augusta in 2010 is one of those things you never forget. But being in a parade, in the championship parade, surrounded by more than a million people with the confetti cannons going off, you absolutely need to stay tuned and get a chance to qualify.
Ron Adams set to join us in about 3 minutes here at 9:30 on 95.7 The Game. Where are you going to be at tomorrow?
I am going to be hopping from float to float, I think.
You're going
to
be out on the
players.
Route?
Yeah, I'm going to be out on the route for the first time. Last year I was in studio with Saint and Papa. And we had a good time. Now they want me out there. So
look at you on the scene reporting.
I'm going to have a good time. Yeah, at first I was asking, what is Kareth going to do? But apparently she's got other duties that she has to attend to. So
excellent, excellent. If you need some good material, feel free to pop on and ask us questions.
95.7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have his cigar, and right when the camera's on him, he'll probably have his phone up so you can't see him.
You'll see
the silhouette of the big dome. That was the famous story last year. The bosses, the big bosses,
yeah,
came out when the TV production of this started, and they wanted to see Lo and Dibs up there.
Okay.
Put Lo up there. Lo's the marquee attraction here at 95.7 The Game.
Eye candy.
And as the float goes by, you can't see Lo because his phone's up directly in front of his face. The big boss goes, Jesus, Lo, put the phone down. It storms off. Shout out Lo Neal. He'll be back tomorrow.
He's not even here.
Cigars in hand.
Do we really need to shout out Lo Neal? I'm seeing some message that apparently he's left for me. Now might be as good a time as any to get this thing out of the air.
All right. So did Lo put this on Twitter or Instagram? Which one of you put on the mic? One of you can join the show. Who's it going to be?
I'm Stephen Langford.
He put it live on the golf course on Instagram.
So he's at Warwick Dunn's charity event. He shot this on the course, and then he sent it to what, on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and play it for us.
It's official. I'm pretty cool. I'm getting ready to play today at East Lake Golf Course. Yes, this is the place where the big boys play. So here's my little background. Don't hate. Yes. So, Dibs, don't get jealous, Dibs. I'm living the life. East Lake Golf Course here in Atlanta. This is where the big boys play, boys.
Not exactly an in-depth message to anyone. He just repeated himself
kind
three
of redundant.
Times.
Yeah.
Big boys,
this
East
is
Lake.
Big boys.
Sounds tired.
Yeah. Oversold, under-delivered, gentlemen back there. Maybe we want to take a hard look at what we tease.
Wow.
It wasn't really that big of a shot at Dibs either.
I'm jealous, though, because that is where they have the Tour Championship every year at East Lake in Atlanta. It's a sweet course, and he knows I would love to be playing there. But
I got you.
In all honesty, I don't need to be there to watch him hit ground balls all day. Hitting
just,
fungos.
Just bowl it up there.
Totally. Hitting fungos to Brandon Crawford at East Lake.
The drama that David West alluded to, Livingston and Steph kind of talked about it as well. Do you think there's any chance something like that can leak into next year? Or is this an opportunity where they had it, they learned from it, they won in spite of it, and now maybe they all move forward and this is behind them? Or is this something we have to keep an eye on for next year?
I don't really think it'll leak into next year. I just feel like next year will present its own problems. Like, they'll remember maybe some of the arguments they had, and maybe next year they argue a little more. I think there will be less, though, next season because they have had the experience of this season and they figured out a way to get through it. So year to year, it's just tough because some people call it organizational fatigue. Like, guys, you're around for a long time, sometimes their stuff gets a little more annoying. You know what I mean? Like, when you first join a team, there's the honeymoon phase and everybody loves each other and like, yeah, everybody's gung-ho, let's make this thing work. Then you're with a guy for 3-4 years and you're like, man, you're annoying, dude. I can't deal with your dirty
locker,
your tantrums. You know what I mean? Everything gets a little more annoying. So they just got to figure out a way to deal with those things, and they will.
Last year in Oakland, should that be enough at Oracle to really serve as the motivating force? Because I got to be honest, we kicked this around last week. You weren't in, so I'd love to get your take on it. Clint Azabuki joining Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. I'm under the impression that you've just won this year. Now you've got 3-4. We'll jump back into this in a sec. We got the assistant coach. There he is. The man, the myth, the defensive mastermind, Ron Adams, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, first and foremost, thank you so much for your time and congratulations on another championship run. How are you feeling this morning?
Good. Thank you.
And congratulations on the defensive performance. I'm just looking at the numbers right here for the third quarter, a quarter that we've nicknamed Dubcon 3. That you hold Cleveland to 4 of 17 in the third quarter and another incredible defensive performance. What happens defensively at halftime in the locker room to where you guys make such great adjustments?
Well, I'd like to say we make great adjustments. I think sometimes we simply focus better on the game plan going in. And, you know, we have a lot of experienced players. They know when things can be done better. And so they pick up their own individual games and do what needs to be done, as well as, I think, as a group, pull together more. So, you know, we emphasize what's happened the first half in some cases, but there aren't many startling adjustments at halftime other than refocusing.
Hey, Coach, so David West and some of the guys talked about how there were things that you guys had to fight through. It was a tough season. Maybe some things that happened in the locker room that you guys made sure didn't come out, and you guys kept tight and in-house and didn't air the dirty laundry. How were you guys able to stay together through all of that? Because obviously this was a challenging season. Besides the injuries and all that, sometimes things break out in the locker room that you just got to fight your way through. How'd you guys do that?
Well, first of all, I'm a little mystified by that comment. Okay. Actually, when I read it, I asked Mike Brown. I said, "Mike, did I miss something this year?"
Okay.
So I don't know. I quite frankly have no idea what David was talking about.
Okay.
Our year was marked by some inconsistency, and in some games, not playing to our potential. Certainly, playing half of a game, or you know, perhaps more, but you know, not always playing to our potential. And I think that probably led to some frustration. But in terms of anything in the locker room that I can recall, I don't get that. I have no idea what he's referring to. I mean, any season is you have your ups and downs. I thought for the most part our guys stayed together well, and so I'm a bit mystified. Maybe you'd have to consult someone else on that, because I'm older and sometimes I miss things. I think I missed that one anyway.
Warriors assistant coach Ron Adams joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to go back to the Houston series for just a second. From a defensive standpoint, over the last 4 years during all these playoff runs, where did that task stack up for you in terms of challenge? Was that your most difficult challenge from a defensive perspective over the last 4 years?
Well, it was one of them. You know, their three-point shooting is phenomenal. And our guys throughout the series, you know, the only series that we struggled a little bit defensively in is the New Orleans series. They were playing so well, and we cooled them off. But in looking at the numbers of the playoff run, it was kind of interesting looking at that series. The last two series were just our guys just did a phenomenal job of field goal percentage defense and 3-point percentage defense, which to me are the two critical stats above all else. And you know, the Houston series was really tough, but I thought defensively we did a really good job. You cannot take away everything from them, but our goals were met. Our defensive goals were met in that series, and it was a tough series. And losing Andre was really critical for us. I personally did not think the series would go seven games if we had Andre. I know they were making comments about not having Paul the last game, but I think in my mind, the loss of Andre in that series was every bit as significant as not having Paul for the last game, because I don't think, in my mind at least, that series would have gone seven.
And to that end, just how well did Kevon Looney play defensively, not only in that series, but his improvement throughout the course of the second half of the year? Talk about that a little, Coach, if you would.
Well, it's a phenomenal story. It's one of our best team stories. A guy who changed his body over the summer, came back. No one was expecting much of him, and he provided much. So it's a real feel-good story. I'm really excited for him and his progress this year. He was very good in the Houston series. And with each series, it's interesting that some people fit in well and others don't. And, you know, JaVale didn't do much for a long period of time because we did not have matchups for him in the Houston series, and then it changed for him in the Cleveland series. Jordan came along in the Cleveland series, and Loon was not quite the factor that he was in the Houston series. So this is the mark of a good team, that people can fit in on a given series, and Steve has the wherewithal to see it and play the right people. Loon, though, getting back to him, was one of our great success stories, I think, this year.
So LeBron James gets 51 points in the first game, and then the rest of the games, you guys found a way to make it much tougher on him. Obviously, he's a tough guy to stop, but you guys did the job, I thought, the last three games there. And you touched on how you give your players some freedom on the defensive side. What was the key factor in kind of making it tough on LeBron James those last three games there?
Well, the thing that helped the most is you forget about when you start a series, you forget about how good he is. And I thought the first game was he was certainly ready to play. He's going to have a really good game one way or the other. But I thought it was our worst job in probably in the last 4 years of defending him, right, and being ready to defend him. So the adjustments that we made, if we want to use that term, was simply we got back to kind of how we play him and the rules that we have and the intensity that it takes and the awareness that it takes. And so it became easier, if that's not really a good word to apply when talking about LeBron, but it made it, you know, we had some good defensive games. I thought we kept him in check well. So the rest is history. But the first game I thought was kind of a surprise game for us. You know, we had played this really tough series with Houston, and now you go to a different team with a phenomenal player who's had a marvelous playoff run. I think the Cleveland does not get enough credit for what they did in the playoffs and how they played and who they had to overcome to get to the finals. And I personally think that they played well in the finals. I think they were well organized. I thought they executed well, and they weren't as dynamic as the team the year before with Kyrie, but as far as the teamness aspect of it, I thought they played better than pundits gave them credit for.
Three-time NBA champ, Golden State Warriors assistant coach Ron Adams joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we know it's been a long season. We thank you very much for your time this morning. Enjoy the parade tomorrow, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you much. I will enjoy that parade. And it was great seeing fans at the airport. There were a number of people out there, and it was fun to see it's fun to see the joy on the faces of people. So that's a big part of what we've done here, and it's really rewarding.
No doubt. Thank you so much for your time, Coach. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kalena Azubuki in studio with Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Lowe will be back tomorrow as we are out on the parade route, broadcasting live from Oakland here on 95.7 The Game. Giving away T-shirts every 15 minutes during the show, so caller number 9. 9 sounds good.
Perfect.
Caller number 9, 888-957-9570 wins a Dubcon 3 T-shirt, 888-957-9570. Also, shout out the qualifiers for a chance to earn a spot with a friend on the 95.7 The Game championship float tomorrow. Jonathan in Santa Rosa, Sharon in Alamo, Olivia in Santa Clara were our 9 a.m. qualifiers. Keep it here every hour through 6 p.m. this evening. We'll continue to qualify more people for that opportunity.
Whew. I know, right?
Not going on today.
So much going on. And as you start to pick through just game four and just the series and just the season, let alone to go back 4 years and look at how the dynasty was built. And you had a great breakdown earlier of all the things from the Draymond Green incident from a couple of years ago, and then you end up getting KD, and things build from there. And you look in the future, and you can't help but think next year you might have a good chance to win one more in Oakland and then off to San Francisco, and you could really see what this dynasty is going to end up looking like.
Today, Kalena, we talked about what happened with Draymond and the LeBron incident from a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. When you really think about it, I'm not saying it was the right move by any stretch, but without that move, they probably go on and win. And if they win, they don't get KD. And if they don't get KD, do they end up winning 3 and 4? Because they probably go on to win that year, which is two.
Right, two.
But do they win another one last year or this year? Because KD would have been elsewhere, possibly looking for revenge with Oklahoma City. So,
and does Harrison Barnes still leave?
Yeah. In hindsight, where are we at right now? Do you think without KD, they go on to win 3 and 4?
Probably not.
Assuming Draymond doesn't get suspended. So they probably grab
that
second
you know
one.
What? Maybe, because does Kyrie stay with the Cavaliers? Or is he still mad? Because that had nothing to do with the Warriors. So is he still mad and leaves to Boston? Cleveland wasn't as good without Kyrie Irving as they were with him when they won in 2016. It's tough to say, man. It's tough to say. They probably, because they're a really good team, man. Yeah. They won 73 games that year when they lost. And if not for injuries, and Bogut was hurt for a little bit, Steph Curry wasn't all the way right after that Houston series, they would have won that year. And then they come back. Who comes back the next year is the question. Okay, no KD. So do you find a way to keep Harrison Barnes? Do you give him a little more? Do you offer him the same thing as Dallas
did? Do you get by this Rockets team this year without KD? And Steph, remember, Steph wasn't 100%.
Right.
Do the Rockets form this team without the Warriors doing what they did with KD? Like, they were built to beat the KD Warriors. You know what I mean? So it's tough to say, man. It's like butterfly effect. Yeah, you go back and change one thing, everything else changes.
It's what this show is all about.
There you go.
We go back 20 years and we pick one small moment of when a person used the restroom, and then we
draw ripple effect.
Wild hypotheticals
for
4 hours.
It's funny you say that, and it's interesting you did that, Joe, because 2 years ago when that happened, I was doing middays with Greg Papa. Bonte had yet to be hired, and it was the interim from the previous guy, so I was doing some middays, and Papa totally went off that day, and it was one of the great rants in the history of sports talk radio. Your partner, Greg Papa, did like 27 minutes unanswered on the whole thing, and I was thinking in the moment, I remember thinking this, well, Draymond kind of cost him the title in a way. If they come back and win the next two, all is forgiven for Draymond Green, because that would be 3 and 4 years, and even though you could argue it should have been 4 in a row, they got KD as a result, and now this dynasty, as I was telling Joe earlier, If you would have gotten that one with Draymond, let's say KD doesn't come here, maybe you win the two and then you don't win these two, the dynasty would feel like it's over. But instead, you've won 3 of 4, and it still feels like the sky's the limit for this group.
Yeah.
Would anyone say that had Draymond not got suspended and they won that year, that they would have won 4 in a row?
I don't think so.
So no. It's probably not a better situation. It could be tied, but we're probably not going to say that they'd have won 4 in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
And Clem is right about the butterfly theory, because we don't know if Chris Paul would have gone there. And Joe was saying earlier that maybe LeBron, if he didn't win, he would have left and maybe he would have gone somewhere.
Exactly.
And you never know what would have taken place.
Yeah.
But I don't see that team without KD winning 4 in a row.
Right. And this team without KD would not have beaten the Rockets the way they're currently constructed.
Yeah. I mean, think
no
about
chance.
It. That was a tight series, and Steph not 100%. You can get physical with them. Clay gets in the foul trouble.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get your scoring from?
Yeah. And if Chris Paul obviously doesn't go down, you got to factor that into. But yeah, that Rockets team was really good, and they got to feel like, if I was a Rockets fan, I'm feeling like, yeah, if Chris Paul didn't go down, we would have had a good chance to
win.
Without
question.
But
without question, if you're a Rockets fan, you're thinking that. Just like we laugh at that.
Right.
Just like everyone who's not a Warriors fan, the B word, all about how all this has played out. So many people in the wake of what happened Friday, and I know you didn't get to see it because you're on TV, but social media is just filled with all these people saying the Warriors, they've ruined the NBA. This isn't any fun. First and foremost, the ratings are fantastic.
Right.
And the jersey sales are fantastic. So don't give me that. The evidence doesn't support your claim. Number two, you could make a case that this is better for basketball. For years, people have always complained about the selfish pro athlete trying to make every last dollar. Well, now all these dudes are calling each other in the offseason trying to figure out how they can form a team to beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
Winning has come first.
It's true.
I mean, you really think LeBron James isn't going to have an eye on, all right, where can I go where I can have a chance to beat these guys? This guy just got humiliated at home for the second year in a row.
Well, if he didn't break his hand, Coach, they would have won that series.
Good point. Fair point.
Without
Very
a doubt.
Lucky, fortuitous break.
Yeah.
No pun intended for the Warriors.
Unfortunate break for LeBron.
I thought something Kevin Durant said was really interesting. He said, it's tougher to be the best player on a team with other great players around you.
Who was he taking that shot at?
I thought LeBron,
and everyone said Russ then.
Right.
You know he was taking a shot at somebody because it's KD.
Really? Yes, man. He's definitely taking a shot. Do you want a subtle shot? Here's the quote. I feel like it's easy to be the best player when you don't have good players around you. I feel like it's harder to stand out when you have great players around you. I pride myself on standing out wherever I am. I pride myself on working hard wherever I go. And I feel like these guys embraced me, and I feel like I'm a warrior. I thought
that was a shot
at LeBron, but then everyone said, no, it's a shot at Russ, who, like a clown, had his little video rapping along to No Vaseline on Saturday morning that he sent out to social media.
That's why I went solo and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's why Russ went solo.
Yeah. I really feel like there's a chance that he wasn't taking a shot at anybody, and maybe he kind of had some of the stuff that they went through this season in the locker room, which Ron Adams has no idea about, by the way. That's funny. We should talk about that, too.
That was a great line.
That is a great line. Maybe, you know what the only thing that came to my mind when he said that was, a lot of times players will be in the locker rooms by themselves without the coaches in there, and maybe some of the arguments can happen then. And when Coach Kerr and all the coaches walk in, everybody's like, all right, let's
just... Ron's coming. Shh. Pretend
you're a teacher.
Yeah. Not like they're scared of the coaching staff, but they just argued themselves out by that point. They're just kind of quiet when the coaches walk in. That's the only way. But
I've heard no such thing.
And then you have players-only meetings and all those things. But you can just air out your stuff there, just put everything on the table and deal with it, and maybe it gets all dealt with before the coaches come in. But I really feel like KD's comments make a lot of sense, because everybody talks about, he took the easy way out. Well, not really. It's really tough, like he says, to stick out when you got Steph Curry on the team, you got Klay Thompson on the team, and these guys can take the game over at any given time. It's tough to win the MVP in that scenario. People were saying, well, Steph Curry could have got it, and those guys have a legitimate argument because Steph was really good in this series, but KD just kind of stuck out a little more, and it's kind of like trying to be the best player when you go play for the USA basketball. It's not easy. Like,
it's Carmelo.
Right.
Carmelo's got all the records.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not easy. Yeah. Everybody's really good, and everybody is used to having the ball in their hands and scoring when they want to and pretty much doing what they want to and being the focal point of the offense. And as a great player playing with great players, you got to figure out how to maybe sacrifice sometimes, and that's not easy. So I agree with him. That's definitely a valid point, and if he's taking a shot at LeBron James or Russell Westbrook, I don't know, I doubt it. I just feel like there's a chance there is no shot intended.
The show doesn't work like that.
He was just talking about what he went through.
It's both. It was a two-way go. It's one of those things where he's talking about his own experience, but at the same time, he knows out there that Russ and LeBron, those guys, they know that the comment was directed at them. He wasn't talking about Victor Oladipo with the Indiana Pacers.
What was the question that he was asked? What prompted him to say that?
Irrelevant.
Completely?
Yeah. I didn't actually read the article. I just read the quote, and I was like, we'll go with this.
We'll be able
to go with this for a while. Yeah. It's leading a lot of shows today.
That was days ago, Coach. Right, Who remembers any questions?
You know what the thing that they've taught everyone, though, is? The new super team era isn't about three guys or four guys. The new super team era is that you need two bona fide superstars who can go back and forth. That's the key to all of this. LeBron can't go somewhere like Houston and then be the guy every night, or have James Harden be the guy every night. What you learned from these guys was game one, who was it? It was LeBron. He had that game. But game two, it was Steph. Then it was Durant. Then it was Steph. They can trade back and forth. That's the killer. That's the killer. If you're going into a scenario, no matter how many all-stars you have, if it's always going to be LeBron in the fourth, you know it's coming. Or it's going to cause some sort of rift in the locker room that the other stars don't have their time to shine. These two are so good at passing the torch back and forth, passing the mic back and forth. And that's what everyone can't understand. And that's why people hate him for it, because they're making it work.
So based on that, then, if he was taking a shot at anybody, it would have to be at Russ, because LeBron tried with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving wanted to leave. Now, obviously, people can say, well, he didn't cultivate that relationship, and he made Kyrie Irving want to leave, but he had Kyrie Irving, and he went there when Kyrie Irving was there, and they tried to make it work for a while, and maybe that's LeBron's fault that it didn't work, but I don't really feel like he would be taking a shot at LeBron. That's his guy.
I think I was just wrong. I think when everyone said Russ, I think that's
yeah.
What's Russ done since he's left? He's running his mouth. He tried to fight a fan in Utah, and right. He's been knocked out in the first round each of the last 2 years.
Average a triple double, coach.
Yeah, sorry,
he won that MVP. Got the MVP. So yeah.
He's tried to stop Ricky Rubio, or he focused his attention on Ricky Rubio
when
that is exactly what the Jazz wanted him to do. And Ricky Rubio was like, "Great news.
Yeah,
and I'm going to shut down Rubio in this next game." Good.
That's right.
You and everyone else has done that already.
P.S. Donovan Mitchell's a decent little player. You may want to guard him at some juncture.
And this isn't great for radio, but here's why it may not have been a shot at Russ, because he agreed to have Carmelo and Paul George come.
How do you feel if you're Paul George today with him out there singing, "That's why I went solo"?
That's why I went solo.
Yeah.
If I'm Paul George, like, what'd you just say?
Classy.
And you're trying to get me to come back to this? You know what?
Without a doubt, in OKC at that. I think the whole thing, to me, speaks to something you mentioned, Klenna, which is the idea of these guys being able to sublimate their ego. For Kevin Durant to go to a team like Golden State and realize it's not going to only be about him. He has to do what he does, but it's not going to be the ball in his hands every single time down the floor. And how do you deal with that? How do you take less money, you get less touches, and a chance to score fewer points in the interest of the greater good? You have to find the unique people to be able to do that.
And more work. Play longer. Obviously,
he got
to the Western Conference Finals, but he never got to the Finals before. So he chose to play longer, to work harder, defend. You have to have some pride on the defense end and some want to. And Ron Adams, he knew Ron Adams was going to be much tougher on him on the defensive end. He's saying, yeah, you're going to work harder than you ever worked in your career on the defensive end.
Good work, boys. We got one last shirt to give away. Caller number 6, 888-957-9570. Caller number 6, 888-957-9570. You will win the final Dubcon 3 shirt of the day. Couple reminders, an opportunity for you to qualify for a chance to win a spot on the championship float tomorrow with 95.7 The Game at the parade every hour through 6 p.m. So keep it locked here. We will be out on the parade route tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. Lorenzo Neal will be back. Steiny and the Guru are coming up next. Jim Barnett will join them at 11 a.m. It's a dynasty, people. For Dibs, for Kalena, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us. Back tomorrow, 6 a.m., like we said, on the parade right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.